Hi, this is John. Before we begin today's podcast, I would like to invite you to visit my website, johnburney.org, where you can join my mailing list, contact me directly for private one-on-one work, access written, audio, and video teachings, and sign up for retreats, as well as find the schedule for my public gatherings. May you realize true peace and happiness. One day we can do this entirely without words. So there'll be less confusion. You know, like a flock of birds that knows how to move all in the same amazing flow. We have that also, even though we may have lost touch with it. But what we're cultivating here actually brings us back in touch with that. That intuitive alignment with the natural flow of life. So easy to not know that you have it. I was reflecting on Siddhartha Gautama, who became Shakyamuni Buddha, and that he determined that we really don't like things to change. And because of that, we suffer. And, you know, he did what he did and discovered what he discovered, and you're doing the same thing, actually. You may not have a Bodhi tree in your backyard, but what he discovered, of course, was what was free of suffering, which you might call that which doesn't change. I like to think of it much more simply as pure consciousness or pure energy, that everything, all matter even, all form, ultimately is energy. All thought is energy, all feeling is energy, all sensation is energy. And all energy is movement. So ironically, that which doesn't change is constantly moving. That's why when we open into awareness, when you have any degree of awakening, really, one of the qualities of that perception is often connectedness or spaciousness or profound stillness. Open-heartedness, peacefulness. And it's that quality, it feels, it is timeless. It's free of struggle. It's free of the relative struggle of our human existence, at least for a moment. And when you've glimpsed that possibility or experienced that profound depth, if you're ready, there'll be this longing for it, this profound longing to realize it, as we say, to have it become fully available, embodied. And all of the countless paths have come from that. All of the countless different teachings have come from that. So, how can you continually find your way to realign with that? To come back into harmony with your true nature. It's one of the values of developing a skillful and highly trained practice. Whatever that practice could be, it could be many things. And there are many practices, meditation kinds of practices, practices that develop sensitivity, awareness, and open the nervous system to clear, accurate perception. Just to get this out of the way right at the beginning, so there's no conflict, that some people claim that if you are engaged in some kind of practice that you are going to somehow create more separation or more of an identity, an identity of a practitioner, of a seeker. But that's only if you approach it in a particular way that does that. Actually, if you really learn how to utilize so-called practices in a way that is in harmony with awakening, it won't do that at all. In fact, it will facilitate the opposite, quite frankly. And that's why there have been practices for thousands of years. Not because they work or they don't work, but because they are tools that you can, in each individual, explore and experiment with and find out how they can work. Because clearly how you approach them, how you engage in them, could go one way or the other. And you get to find out. That's all. So it's not really a problem. It doesn't have to be a problem. You don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And actually, quite frankly, I work with many people around the world who have had, what would I call it, premature awakenings where they can't handle the side effects and the symptoms of too much energy and Shakti and Kundalini and all kinds of Kriyas and things going on that are actually can be disabling, actually, and dysfunction, and people can become almost dysfunctional. Many, many people I work with have those issues because in many cases people didn't develop the vehicle to handle rocket fuel. They thought they could, you know, get by on a skateboard. And developing a practice is probably no less amazing than building a rocket ship that actually can go to Mars. Probably much more amazing. That's why I used to find when I was a monk, way back, that even though it was a rough kind of schedule, getting up at 3 a.m. and being in the meditation hall by 3:45, after doing my push-ups and my sit-ups and putting on my robes in 28-degree weather and getting a hot cup of tea and getting to the meditation hall, I couldn't wait to get on my cushion because I couldn't wait to find out what I was going to discover. Now, that may sound crazy, but, you know, I was in my 20s. And and it was hard. It was painful. There were a lot of challenges. But there was always that, because there had been an awakening earlier, years before, there was that longing that amazing longing that kept me going and is keeping you going, even though you wish it were over already. I hear that all the time. That's the only reason I'm saying that. How long do I have to keep dealing with my unconscious trauma, my reactivity, my stuff that gets in the way? Reminds me of my grandmother when she was in her 80s and still living alone in her apartment in San Francisco on the corner of Leavenworth and Geary. And I'd take Greyhound bus and come up and see her and manage to get through the Tenderloin. Learned street smart young. And she'd say, I'm tired of... No, I'd say, Grandma, I hope you live to be 100. And she goes, God forbid, don't curse me. And I learned that's a good mantra, by the way. I've used it a lot. She goes, I'm tired of washing the dishes. I'm tired of washing the floor. She complained most of her life, I think. And that was okay. I loved her anyway. I didn't care. And she called me Johnny. I'd call her every day. And she would complain about her daughter, my mother. We had that in common, that complaint. And she'd cry and, a lot. And eventually she had to go to a nursing home. I think it was in Hayward. And one day I drove down there to see her. And she had awakened. And it was like, wow. She was just in the light. She was still here. She hadn't passed away yet. And there was no more complaining. And I thought, this is a miracle. And I thought, she's ready now. She's ready to let go. And 6 months later, she did. And my mother said she never looked happier. Isn't that amazing? But, by all means, complain as much as you need to. Didn't stop her from being awakened. She didn't know anything about awakening. She didn't know anything about any of that. Just happened. And that's really the truth of it. Sometimes knowing about it can actually get in the way of it. That's why I encourage people to develop an open mind, free of the burden of the dogma that you've inherited, that you've bought, that you were sold, that you were BS'd into believing. And find the truth yourself. Learn to trust that inner wisdom, that inner clarity that is literally your life. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to realize that your life is a miracle that nobody understands. I mean, we're getting really a lot more clever about figuring and working with it. In medicine, I was just listening to a TED talk this morning, making breakfast about new advances and working with health and medicine. Amazing stuff that people are discovering now and working with. God knows where we're going to be in 100 years in that way if we're still here, But we're on the cutting edge of that with this so-called goal of awakening, non-goal of awakening.
No question about that. They're even saying now, they're looking at, there was one cancer specialist I was listening to who was talking about the sort of, what do you call it? The environment, the internal environment where things, where cancer grows. And, you know, when you cultivate awareness and you begin to understand its interface with physical health and emotional health, it changes your literal internal ground in your body. I'm finding that. I've had a bunch of health stuff and I've been under too much stress for too long. And I've recently had a renaissance with my practice. And it's been amazing. And I thought, you know, my friend Ajit was over the other day and we had dinner. I said, you know, I've been practicing what I preach, and you know what? It works. He cracked up laughing. We both talked about that. We both realized we're getting back to teaching that more. We were sharing notes about what we're teaching, and I'm, you know, and it's so important, we, you know, to have that commitment and that discipline. It's great to get the awareness. I mean, that's anytime, anywhere, no matter what posture you're in. But to begin to learn to fly and be in the herd, you know, be in the flock of life, that's, I'm learning all the time. And hopefully you are too. When you have that attitude, when you have that perspective, you'll begin to be inspired no matter what your circumstances are. Because even my grandmother, who was dying, end of her life, she wasn't complaining anymore. She was actually happy. And I thought, wow, it was great to be with her. I mean, I loved her anyway. I didn't care if she complained. That, again, the way of love. But that was gone. She had moved into the big heart. And that's what happens when we let go of all of our fear and our defensiveness and our identity, our personal identity. We come back to that fundamental human reality of love on the highest level, on the most beautiful level. That's the most important thing for a human being, to have that, I'd say. To cultivate that, and that will naturally happen as you deepen in your awakening, as it were, as it becomes more embodied and you allow it to guide you and teach you and show you the way. That's why a practice is so great, because it's like your own little laboratory. Not just some grueling, torturous obligation that you have to now do your meditation, grind it out, grind out another retreat, grind out another satsang. Torture yourself with more dogma. I'm being a tease. It's good to make fun of it. I hope you can. I encourage you to develop a good, healthy, cynical sense of humor about it all. If you can't tear down your idols, you're going to be stuck worshiping them. I know it doesn't help probably to hear that you have it within you, you know. That may not be helpful. Yeah, I know. So I'm sorry. I only say that for those who are ready to be reassured with that and are at the place where they can are beginning to develop that kind of trust. And if you're not there yet, well, then you're learning how to have trust in your own life, in your own body, in your own reality, whatever that is. And I guarantee you that if you learn how to approach your experience in a particular way, you will, without a doubt, develop that trust. So it's fine not to have it. I mean, I didn't. I was not a spiritual person at all. I don't even know what that is. No, I was just a frustrated teenager who didn't see the point. I didn't believe anything. I didn't trust anybody. And I was very anti-authoritarian. Still am. But I questioned everything, and I encouraged that. That's important. And in that questioning process, I was led to have an experience that changed my life. And I didn't know what it was that happened for a long time. But that seed is within you, and it may very well be germinating under the surface. I'm sure it is. It is, of course. You wouldn't be here otherwise. You wouldn't be interested in this sort of thing otherwise. Not really. Yeah. It's great to just feel that presence. I said the other night in Monday night in San Francisco, I said, I prefer the silence, and you know, kind of sorry I have to break the silence, but you know, I think the words in the right way, in the right order, can actually help with the right intention and clarity in them. Even the way you communicate to yourself is worth listening to. Notice if how you communicate yourself engenders harmony in yourself or more tension. That's worth just looking at. That's a simple practice right there. Even how you speak to another, even if they're just, you know, the checkout person. You know, how often is your mouth opening and sound coming out in some automatic, you know, tape machine? How often do you actually walk down the street and are actually fully present in your body, not just in your thoughts or looking at your phone, but actually seeing and hearing and touching the ground, breathing? Oh, look at that bird, you know, catching what's here. No blame for that. You know, you're checked out most of the time. It's a hard life to be checked into. I get it. I get why people shoot heroin. I get why people kill themselves. That doesn't surprise me at all. I'm surprised more people don't. That's more surprising that we endure it, this nightmare. I get it. I mean, it's unbelievable. Sorry. I really encourage honesty. But I know, and I am going to tell you the truth in my own experience, that I wasn't going to make it either. I wouldn't have made it if I didn't discover what we're talking about here. So it really was for me life and death, and I know it is for probably most people who really are sincere, that it's that hard. And so my heart goes out to you always. Yeah. So notice how you're encouraging yourself, how you're guiding yourself, how you're communicating with yourself, and notice if you're really hard on yourself and really judging yourself and comparing yourself and all that kind of stuff, and see if you can start to build in another team member who actually loves you, who actually cares about you, who actually has compassion for your struggle, who actually is patient with your difficulty, who doesn't compare you to the straight A students who win. You know, doesn't compare you to anybody. We often need to reparent ourselves. Most of us. I certainly needed to. I mean, my parents were, they had a lot of good things, but yeah, there was some serious baggage that came along with that. As my brother mentioned to me a number of years, he said, you know, it's amazing that we're capable of loving considering the wild animals that raised us. They were very loving people, actually. It's nice to have the silence to just drop in deeply. That's the deeper nonverbal communication that I referred to at the beginning. That's always happening here. Whether you're tuned in there, whether you're just giving that your attention, which is fine to do. It's fine to be profoundly focused on presence. Beautiful. It's important. It's a very important part of the path. But every moment is an important part of the path. Not just the bliss, not just the stillness, not just the emptiness, but also the bottom of the muddy ditch that you have to somehow climb out of. That's just as valuable. The heartbreak, the loss, the rage, the disappointment, everything is valuable on this path. That's why it's so cool. And when you get that, you utilize everything. Everything becomes a mirror for you and a teacher for you. Everything. Everyone, everything. So when you're done struggling and fighting, you might say, okay, what do I have to learn from this one? How can I learn now? What's the lesson here, right now? What am I avoiding? What do I not want to feel? What can I become a little more available to? What can I become a little more aware of. Maybe just my breath. Let's keep it simple. You know, now on your, if you have one of these watches, it has this little thing that reminds you to breathe. And I look at it and I go, I don't have time for that. I'll take a breath later when I have time. Well, we have time now for your questions if anybody wants to.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm super grateful to be able to talk with you right now because I've had a lot of energy running through my body. I don't usually listen to the news, but after Oprah spoke about at the Golden Globes, I just did a major download of everything that's been going on, and I'm just at a place where I've had a lot of suffering, and there's been a lot of evolution, a lot of realization, and there continues to be more. And right now, it's with this range of emotion. You know, anger and, looking at conscious anger,
mm-hmm.
being really conscious with it,
mm-hmm.
and also being in a place where I'm speaking. So I just started speaking about this. And I'm not a trained therapist. I'm realizing that there could be a lot of energy in the room. And certainly I can be present with that as much as I can be. But I'm scared to do this kind of work, even though I see it needed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's scary how to be conscious, how to really facilitate and serve men and women and men around this issue and around being consciously courageous. And if something goes up in the room, you know, what do I do? I don't want to not do this work because I'm afraid of what might happen in the room. And I know you're an expert at this kind of thing, it seems to me, of dealing with energy that could be from huge trauma.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to not speak because of that. So mm-hmm. I just want to know what comes up for you when I say that. What any recommendations, any insight around that?
You know, when I'm sitting here with you, I'm not in thinking.
Okay.
I'm not in an analytical place. I'm more like when I was a violinist, I'm more like listening to the music. I'm more like tuning in to you, with you, on a lot of levels.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to express all of that because it wouldn't be helpful. So I'm more interested in being with you right now and finding our way together right now rather than to give you a particular approach or protocol, which I'm happy to do, by the way. Happy. There's mm-hmm. a lot of approaches and there's a lot of ways mm-hmm. to work with overwhelming emotional energy that's frightening for people because they don't know how to handle it, they don't know how to release it. They don't know how to integrate it, discharge it without it being, you know, destabilizing or harmful possibly to themselves or someone else. I mean, there's a lot of worries about that stuff mm-hmm. because a lot of people have been conditioned to repress mm-hmm. in a way or never had a healthy way to move, to learn how to naturally move energy, which is really our, if we were not so enculturated, we would have that ability. We would still have that ability in a way that was natural and easy and quite functional.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but with you right now, I would want to sit with you. And why don't we sit a little together and do a little guided piece? How's that? Is that okay with you?
Sure.
Or did you want to do?
It might be important for you to know that I haven't experienced serious abuse myself. Physical abuse. I've experienced serious neglect and instability with a bipolar mom and a mm-hmm. dad emotionally unavailable, and it's amazing how much that is still impacting my life.
Right.
So that may be relevant.
Of course.
And I enjoy releasing my anger through movement and
Okay.
And I'm pretty conscious about the way I do that. So, and I know that there's much still repressed and not dealt with. And the sexual harassment that I have experienced, that there's way more healing needed. So
mm-hmm. okay.
if that helps.
Well, I think that working with being in your body as much as possible is mm-hmm. very, very important.
Yeah.
So doing guided awareness work, doing guided relaxation and that sort of thing, the kind of like SE work, you know, somatic experiencing, that kind of work is really, you know, very gentle energy work can be very, very helpful. And so I'd say being, you know, if any kind of trauma that's still sort of circulating or being held in the nervous system, mm-hmm. there's a lot of therapeutic and body work and even, you know, psychological therapeutic work that can be very, very helpful for that. And you just have to take it as it comes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to try to, you know.
Instigate it?
You have to have a realistic perspective on working with that and be very gentle and patient with yourself.
I have been kind of calling it up. Are you referring to letting it arise? I mean, the subject is bringing it forth, and I'm okay. writing my experiences,
good.
And now I'm
yeah,
speaking
I mean,
about
a,
my experiences.
There's so many ways to work with moving energy. I mean, there's just so many ways. I don't want to list them all here, but there's so many techniques and approaches that are very, very helpful. Mm-hmm. Obviously, speaking about it, being mm-hmm. heard in a space of real acceptance and love and, you know, all of that.
conscious just, dance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's many, many approaches.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what is it that you feel you need right now most of all?
I mean, open question, I need financial resources. What do you...
Okay.
Yeah, my practice is very nourishing and very, and I haven't been diving into, you know, I don't have a lot of memories from my childhood, so mm-hmm. I know there's more there from mm-hmm. my bipolar mom. I mean, I keep hearing mm-hmm. things like she was in the hospital for 3 months when I was howled. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I know there's impact.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, working with a therapist regularly would be a good idea.
If I had the financial resources, okay. I would be doing that regularly.
Yeah, I would certainly think that would be a priority.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you probably know that, but...
Yeah.
Or to get any kind of support you can, where, you know, you can be allowed to be heard and listened to.
I'm in 12-step under earners, and
good.
That's a beautiful... And I think I want to do the... Adult Children of Alcoholics, because my parents weren't alcoholics, but I understand
I was
the
symptoms. I did Al-Anon meetings for 8 years back in my 30s, and I loved those meetings. They were great. I didn't know what acceptance was before that. I never was listened to before that.
Mm.
So that was a great learning.
Yeah, they're great programs.
Yeah, it can be very healing.
It's also, you know, a struggle between that and my understanding of my realization, you know, there's some smallness there that's, you know, and how they just are so firm about certain things. So it's a dance.
Okay. Well, let's sit for just a minute together, okay? Because there's something else I want to give you feedback for.
Great.
Because there's a sense of, let's just sit. There's this, yeah. Okay. Now I'm getting the vulnerability allowed more here, which is good.
Yeah, there's a tightness I've been feeling.
Right.
For sure.
And so I feel like there's some kind of automatic arising of stopping the vulnerability and mm-hmm. and what it turns into is a kind of wanting to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I'm sensing here with you mm-hmm. is what I'm intuiting might be worth just allowing that into your awareness to begin to notice that. It's very subtle,
mm-hmm.
and yet I think it could really shift the field that you're in and allow various things to arise without you having to go and excavate.
Yeah, that'd
I don't.
Be nice.
I don't recommend excavation.
Okay, I like hearing that.
No, I mean there's a place for that, and I'm not against that. There's mm-hmm. a definite place for that therapeutically. I'm not talking about that, but there's a quality in which where you're pushing.
Yeah,
and I can feel it.
Well, I got
almost
riled
like,
up.
Not, I'm not judging. I'm just saying that there's an energetic push.
Uh-huh.
And if you can begin to bring awareness to that unconscious conditioning, I think a lot will open up for you and shift amazingly without you doing anything.
That's I've been on this path, and I love that you're calling it forth right now, because that's part of the confusion is, you know, when I can be so passive that everything's fine. I can be so, and that's not it either.
But I don't feel that.
You don't? Not right now. Since last week, I've been fucking revved up.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm contained. There's some containment happening in front of you.
Glad to hear that there's a range.
Yeah, there's a big range.
Good. So that's my suggestion and feedback for what I'm sensing.
Okay.
That there may be a way in which you're bringing attention to what you want to access that actually could be preventing it from coming up and even maybe exacerbating it. Mm. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's all. It's a very subtle shift in how you're bringing awareness to what's happening. People off, particularly if you're a doer and achiever and have all that kind of conditioning, which most of us do, we often get in the way by thinking we're being helpful. There's a way to bring attention. This is what I mean when you develop a practice. There's a much deeper levels of awareness that have no will in it. That's the awareness of pure consciousness. And so anyway.
I vacillated when I was younger. There was a lot of protective lioness energy, but it was more unconscious. And then after all this work of, and then just sitting and just so much melting.
Well,
and
now it's like I think this is going to be ongoing
swinging.
I think this is going to be an ongoing integration. It's not about getting rid of that. Yeah. It's about letting it be the catalyst for your growth. That's what it's going to be, the mover of your transformation rather than the nemesis you're trying to, you know, eliminate.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, please, come on up. Let's just sit for a minute before we start.
Okay.
Thanks. You okay? You nervous? Yeah, that's... a lot of energy. Just give yourself a minute. Take your time. Why don't you close your eyes and just relax and just, you know, we're just hanging out here. It's cool. Santa Cruz. It's cool, right? It's laid back. I used to live down here. I love it down here.
100%. No, 100 beats.
Hardy.
I am Spanish. Sorry. Oh. I understand perfectly English, but
okay.
I don't speak very well English yet.
Okay, I'll do my best to listen.
My heart is beating so quick that now. Oh my God, okay.
That's normal. It's very common when you come up.
It's related with my question.
Okay, what's your question?
Because I have to say thank you so much. You know, because she called me yesterday. She invited me, Christine. And yesterday was this moment in my life that I thought, I don't want to see any more teacher.
Oh, I know how that is.
I have been 8 years looking for the truth, you know, and actually I was pushed into this path.
I totally understand.
You know, I was an alcoholic, heavy, you know, I was really, really a mess.
Okay.
You know, and I play with drugs.
Huh?
And then Sunday I was taking mushrooms. You know, I did my Erasmus. I was studying the teacher.
Psilocybin?
Sorry?
Psilocybin?
What is psilocybin?
Mushrooms?
Yes, I went to Amsterdam. I was studying in the university in Granada. And then I went to Amsterdam to do a year, you know. And then, yes, I was with a friend. And then she said to me, you can have a mushroom to try. And I said, okay. I was taking anything by that time. And I explode that day. You know, suddenly I felt so much fear. Mm. You know, I just my mind went crazy. You know, I was for seven hours in hell. You know, so I wasn't ready because I saw so much. And since then, like 9 years ago, my life has been hell. You know, because I didn't know what was going on with my life. I was going to hospital almost every day at the beginning because I thought I was dying, you know, until they said to me, you have panic attacks. Mm-hmm. And then I was not happy with this, you know, because I thought I used to be bulimic for a long time. I was taking medication, so I thought, you know, I'm not going to take any medication, so I'm going to do it in another way. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you know, I'm not going to tell you anything because, like, until last night I was thinking, you know, I am dying. You know, it's this huge amount of energy that sometimes come to me, like now, like, and it's like immediately death, you know?
Okay.
But I am very happy at the same time because I could be in a hospital taking a lot of medication and I said, no. And then I found my ex-boyfriend. So I went to India and then they explained to me a little bit about Kundalini and these kind of things that you have been talking today. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, because sometimes I feel like I am going crazy, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just a lot of energy moving through me.
Sure.
And I feel people and I feel rage. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's like my question now, because I don't want to get lost in this, is like I am finding super difficult to integrate all this, you know, in my life, because I came here 1 month ago because I used to translate people like you in Spain.
Oh, wow, cool.
You know, so I was doing these retreats in these beautiful mountains. And then the teacher who I was translating, she invited me to work here as a volunteer and improve my language. But it has been a mess, you know, because I am very weak in my body, you mm-hmm. so it was a lot of misunderstanding. And then last night I thought, oh, gosh, you know, no more teachers, no more nothing, but how can I do this on my own? Because it's like this, you know, it's like about integrity and honesty, you know, honesty. Mm-hmm. But it's super difficult.
Yeah, true. Well, good to meet you.
Thank you. Good to meet you.
Okay, well, let's just sit together. Mm. That's it. There's a lot going on. So now you're going to have to learn how to be with it so it can do what it's doing. It's that simple and that difficult.
I know.
Okay. I'm just going to give you a few guidelines right now. So I'd like you to be aware of your... And if you need to release emotion, that's fine. Just let it come. That's fine. It'll naturally happen. Good. Yeah. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. Okay. Oh, feel your feet on the ground. You do that? Good. Yeah. Just feel your hands on your legs. Okay. You okay with your eyes open?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good.
Well, I am a little dizzy. Bring
the mic up so I can hear you. I'm sorry. I know.
Yes, I feel quite dizzy most of the time, so I am used to this dizziness.
Yeah, because you're not... You need to... I won't even go into why. Okay, let's just... And I want you to be aware of your breath below your navel, about 3 finger widths below, okay? 3 finger widths, that's where you want to be aware of the breath down there. That's your tantian or your hara. It's the center of chi. It's where you, that's it. I could feel you tuning into it. You need to do, period. If you do nothing else, that you need to do, okay? Because you need to begin to regulate your chi. Your chi is out of control in a way that's not working for you. Okay? No big deal. It's going to work. It will work. But this is, it's like Qigong is happening and now you have to learn how to do it. Seriously. Okay? So that's it. So that's a basic Qigong awareness practice. It's down the breath below the navel. 3 finger widths, and just let the breath, that's it. Once you're tuned in there, you can put your hands like this. Mm. Now let it breathe naturally. Don't force the breath. Don't do any controlled breathing. But put your attention there, gently. No force. That's it. See, your field's open. You're opening a lot. You feel that? You don't feel it. Okay. That's all right. Okay. Just be aware down here. Can you feel that down there? So I'll give you some feedback. Okay, the way you're paying attention right now, here, is going to begin to stabilize you. It's going to begin to ground the energy. And things will start to get probably a little calmer and easier for you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I don't want to give you too much information because it will not be helpful.
No, I have already a lot of information.
Yeah, you have too much already. I know you don't need it. So just, this is, in the, let's just work with this right now. So awareness of your feet on the ground, hands on your legs, breath down in your belly. That's all. And just relax. You need to be diligent with your attention.
Diligent
is, you need to keep, not with force, but you need to keep coming back here. Don't get too spaced out with your thinking or daydreaming or anything like that. Okay? This is where you need to be focused. Focused with, you know, focused?
Yes.
Without tension. So it's not focused where you're willing, where you're trying. It's a kind of, as if you were walking on a tightrope. You know what a tightrope is? And you were, and there was an infinite abyss below you and no safety net.
Wow.
So you don't, yeah, that's what I mean, diligent. That's wow. Diligent.
Okay.
Where you're, it's, it, that's it, right there. So that's the kind of attention you need with the breath for this to start to clear and stabilize and integrate. Okay, you've had various kinds of open. This is what I was talking about at the beginning of the talk.
Yes,
I work with people like you all around the world.
Yes, and it's funny because I was really, I don't want to go to see him. You know, he's going to
blame I don't blame you. I never wanted to see any of those people
because
either. They were
like,
dragged. People dragged me to those
things. Everything.
What?
I have tried so much things and therapy. And even I listen to this beautiful woman. You know, it's like, I don't want to go there.
No. You need training and practice, very specific, and you'll find that, and it needs to be something you realize. Yeah, it's because you have so much going on right now. Outside information is almost useless.
It's my panic attacks, actually.
I believe
you know,
it.
Like,
I believe it.
I have such intense panic attacks since I came here. It's a lot, you know.
You're going to be okay.
Well, I survived a plane of 18 hours with three planes.
Okay.
Okay.
You're on the tightrope, remember?
Yes, thank you.
Now, just relax. Find a place of balance so that your body is, you know, you may work with your posture in a way so that you're, now when I sit on a chair with no back support I sit in a way that there's, my hips are a little higher than my knees. So I get that, like sitting on a zafu, you know, like on a cushion, but my back and knees can't handle that anymore.
Mm.
So I'm very upright without any tension. Okay? You should try that. You can experiment with that, but you need your hips higher than your knees so you have the mechanical advantage.
My hips.
Yeah,
my
your
hips.
Hip, this is your hip here. A little bit higher than your knees so that you get the mechanical advantage so your lumbar spine can be straight without tension. Do you understand?
Yes.
Good. Okay, but don't hold tension, but you want to work with your physical body very directly. You absolutely have to be in your whole body as much as possible. Okay? So, but just relax. Right now, just really relax.
Okay.
That's it. There you go. See, now it's starting to flow again. Right here.
Thank you.
Have your mind remind you to keep being in your body, keep being in your breath. That's it. And you just keep bringing yourself back. And you want to also work, and it, okay, so there's the energy move. You also want to work with stillness. That's the other piece. And we're not going to get it all done here in a few minutes, trust me. But these are some guidelines that, you know, maybe I'll see you again or we can work together or something. But that's that's what you'll need to work with to really have this begin to stabilize. Yeah, I understand. I'm sorry that it's so difficult. Yeah, I know. You'll get through this. You're going to be okay. You're going to be fine. You're going to be muy bien.
Muy bien. I need to go back to Spain at some point.
You know, there's somebody who's been wanting me to run a retreat in Mallorca. Maybe I should talk to you. Yeah. She's in Paris. And I'd love to do that, actually. People have been wanting to come to Spain for a long time.
Granada is a beautiful place, really.
That's what I've heard, yeah. I love Barcelona. Mm. Barcelona.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's good to meet you. Good to meet you. So just remember a few of those things and experiment with them. Don't believe them. What I offer is not anything to believe. It's something to try out and see if it works for you.
Mm. And okay? For me, it's super important to know how to work with my body.
Oh, no kidding. No, you absolutely.
Because I have been spaced out for 10 years, yeah, and yeah. I think I was spaced out all my life.
No. Yeah, that's right. This is it's going to be a really interesting journey.
Well, last night I was just thinking, I just want to die.
Bring the mic up one.
Last night, you know, because I was having a dinner with my friends in Santa Cruz, you know. Mm-hmm. I am now becoming part of the church.
Okay.
Because I used to be very Catholic. So here, when I found this amount of energy, I thought, okay, I need to go to church.
Okay.
And I have been crying a lot in church, you know.
Okay.
So last night we were having dinner, and suddenly I felt like I was having a heart attack during the dinner.
Mm.
And it was a moment in me that I said, it's enough. You know, I am grateful. I am 37, but I don't want to hear anymore. It's too much.
I understand. Work with this and check in with me at some point.
Okay.
Either here or I'm here, when I'm back here. And we're doing a day long, actually. And
yes, Christine told me.
You might want
this.
To come to that. That would be great for you. You could really hone it in a little bit.
Mm. Okay. No, I can't.
It'd be good
go.
For you to be in this kind of energy where you get that kind of support. You can just work with a simple practice.
Yes.
Okay?
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
so nice to meet you.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to meet
really.
You. Hang in there. Yeah,
thank
yeah.
Thank you.
I'm glad you have a good friend. Let's just sit for a minute before we have, I think we have time for one more person. Let's just sit for a minute first. Okay, somebody else like to come up? Christy, sure, come on up.
Well, I saw you on Wednesday, and there was a lot of movement, and right before we finished talking, we sat for a minute, and you said to me that you could feel something underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And it put me in touch, because I've been kind of rolling. And it put me in touch with that there's still a lot of grief to process.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
yeah, I can't really name it all yet what it is, but I can feel the movement that's happening is towards more joy. You know, there's more joy coming in my life, a new job, a new partner. And then there's this space somehow created that is giving me an opportunity to experience the letting go of the old, I guess. And it isn't good or bad or anything, it's just emotional letting go. So
yeah.
And some of what I'm letting go of, I really love, and I haven't. You know, I've been in a position before where I was letting go of something that I didn't love, and it was different than this. This is letting go of something I really love.
Yeah.
And it's just really hard for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
want to hang on to it, you know? I don't mm-hmm. want to let it go.
But the letting go is opening you, Christy, and it's very visible, very present right here, you know? Whatever it is, whether you know what it's about or not, or think you know what it's about or not, it's happening. Which means you're opening more. There's more space being created. That's what letting go is. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. It doesn't matter what it's about, whether that's true or not, you know? Our mind comes up with all kinds of beliefs about stuff. It's just what it does. Yeah, you're just releasing. It's clearing happening. It's good.
You know, it's the way my mind works, too. It's kind of like instead of saying, oh, well, you're moving from this job where you're working at the beach, and it's a beautiful drive out. You love that drive, and you get to go to the beach every day when you're there, and... Now you're not going to have that anymore, you know? It's like I'm losing.
Yeah, well, it's important to grieve it. You've been there a long time. It's, you know, it's healthy to grieve. It's healthy. It's a good thing.
And I can go out to the beach if I want.
Yeah, yeah, you can go there and not work. You know, I mean, that's healthy.
And the interesting thing for me is that the new partner and the new job, they feel like they've both just fallen into my lap. And I know it's because of the work I've been doing for the last few years, well, for the last 64 years, but in particular, being more conscious of it in the last... Mm-hmm. 3 years. Mm-hmm. And it is amazing.
You're a space that keeps opening up more. And that's all this is. You get used to it. You know, it's just like, okay, that's just another wave that needs to move. That's all. It's the human reality. No problem with that at all. It's a good thing. And then you notice the part that wants to hold on. That's where you want to put your attention.
Right.
Not on the movement. The movement knows what to do. The river knows how to flow.
Okay, well, that's very helpful because I can get caught up in the movement.
That's what I was saying. That's exactly the point reason I mentioned it.
Yeah, and you said, oh, there's something underneath it, and I didn't even really recognize it was there. And then I went, when I let myself feel it, it was like, oh, my God, there's a whole lot of sadness.
And what you want to bring attention to is that unconscious trying to hold on or stop it or whatever, that's where you bring attention.
Right.
Not the movement of the grief or the fear or whatever it is. That's just a natural weather system going through. That's all. It will come and go. You know, blows through. It's our stopping it or turning it into meaning something that causes suffering. It's just energy. Look at you. You're just a big, light, bright light.
John, thank you.
You're welcome. Good to see you. Okay. So, we have some time now just to sit together a little longer in silence, and then I'll have a few things to share at the end. You know, it's so easy to get into the habit of coming and going in your life. Okay, now I'm going to go to the next thing, whatever that is. And yet, you might even notice that in yourself, this sort of compulsion to go to the next thing, to do the next thing, to think about the next thing. And I'd invite you, if you notice that sort of pull, push, what, drag, whatever it is, to stop just for just a second and drop back in. And, you know, when you come here and you cultivate this consciousness, this presence, the quality of it is this just luscious, nourishing stillness. And why would you want to leave that? It isn't about holding on to it, as some people think, or as Ajay was calling it the other night, state, what do you call it? State chasers. I like that. That's not it. I tell people, look, if you want to be high all the time, you know there's other ways to do that. So, yeah, you know. And but really, no, it's really about dropping back into the moment. It's kind of about just kind of settling back in and just, as we used to say, grooving. You know, enjoying this moment. You know? This is the only moment there ever will be. We have this false belief that there's time. That is a practical, functional use. But in reality, it's not reality. So keep returning to reality. That's what mindfulness is all about, those practices. It's all about coming back to this timeless, thoughtless, open-hearted moment that's really nourishing and for your body, certainly, it will feel good. You know, it feels good to just not have to rush, not have to be pushed or pulled, or just to be at peace. So I wish you lots of peace until the next time I see you, which is hopefully soon. And in the meantime, take wonderful care of yourself and really listen to yourself. Listen, listen deeply. And of course, happy trails. Thank you.